Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude's dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Lugie. We have finally arrived. The trade deadline is here. The day of the trade deadline is here, and we already have some major trades that we need to discuss over the next 5 hours. But we'll start with the Yankees, who made a lot of noise on Sunday, not only winning 2 out of 3 over the Cubs, which was a well-pitched series, a playoff-like atmosphere series, and a feather in the cap of the Yankees as they finished off, which was a tough schedule on the road. Very tough. And the Yankees were able to navigate the waters and have a winning road trip. So credit to them as they come back home to play the Cardinals. But they also made a lot of news with a trade that they made. And Brian Cashman deserves a lot of credit for this one. And that is Luis Garcia, who I've heard a lot of people ask questions, well, where does he fit? How does this, you know, this player figure into the Yankees' plans as far as position and things of that nature? Look, the Yankees needed to get bats. When they looked at Scooble and Miller and bats, like that was three categories. For me, as great as Scooble is, as great as Miller is, and I still would be stunned if Miller got traded, the top priority for Brian Cashman and for the Yankees is offense, bats, because this offense is so anemic, because you have a lot of dead outs, because Grisham is giving you nothing, because the shortstop position is giving you nothing, because the catcher position has given you nothing, because Dominguez has been more style than substance, because McMahon is not giving you anything, because you don't know if Stanton or Judge are coming back, and if they do come back, you don't know what versions of Stanton and Judge you're getting. So because of all of that, offense, offense, offense needed to be top priority. Not pitching. The Yankees have a championship rotation. They have a, let's be real here, championship bullpen. Now, they've traded away a couple bullpen pieces, but they were bad bullpen pieces, so they're going to have to get an arm to replace those arms, but they're not going to get the likes of a Miller. It's a championship rotation. You didn't need Scooble. If you can't win it all with a Schlittler, with a Fried, with a Cole, it was about offense. It was about this team come October having the hitters to go toe-to-toe and beat the Rays and beat the surging, and they've been surging for a while, and they just completed a sweep of the Dodgers, Red Sox, and to get to the World Series and then take down the National League representative. You needed a catcher. You needed multiple bats, I think, in the infield, and you needed an outfield bat. And Garcia goes a long way in helping this offense. So don't worry about the fit. Cashman needed the best available bat. And Garcia, at least the way it's trending now, is going to be the best offensive player that got traded. He's having a career year. He's having an incredible season at the plate. And what I love about Garcia is he hits for a high average, and he doesn't strike out a lot. And those are two things that I've been talking about for weeks when it comes to the Yankees. When it pertains to players that Brian Cashman needed to trade for, I wanted offensive players that didn't strike out and hit for a high average. You know, Luis Arraez obviously is the poster child for that. A guy that hits well north of 300, strikes out under 50 times, you know, basically year in and year out, and he's having an all-world season as far as those categories go for the Giants. And he certainly would make a lot of sense for the Yankees. But the thing about Garcia is he's not going to hit for the average that Arraez hits for, and he's obviously going to strike out more than Luis Arraez because everybody in baseball basically does. But Garcia adds something to the table that Arise doesn't, and that is power. So you get the combination of power, average, and lack of strikeouts. Garcia doesn't solve all your problems. His splits are staggering when it comes to facing righties and facing lefties. I don't see it as a platoon situation. I don't see him as a bench player or a guy that, when I say that, meaning there will be times where he's, you know, 50% of the time he's not in the lineup. I think he's a 70 to 80% of the time in the lineup type of player. And that includes against lefties, which he struggles against because unless things change drastically in the next 12 or so hours, and they certainly might because the Yankees do have to add a lot more bats, but the way I see it right now, you're basically getting another version of Ben Rice in the lineup. You know, all those advanced metrics and Garcia's numbers are very favorable to Ben Rice's. And we know the type of MVP year that Ben Rice is having. Now, this idea of moving Garcia to second and Jazz to third, here's the problem. Garcia can't field. Defensively, he is not strong at all. And I don't want to weaken my infield defense, especially when I'm a team that the bread and butter is still going to be the pitching. And I want to be able to field the ball. I would have moved Jazz and still would for Arise. That I would do because Arise has become a solid, steady glove in the infield. And obviously Arise brings so much to the table offensively as far as high average and not striking out and gives the Yankees a different wrinkle. But Garcia, he's not good defensively at second base at all. So I would not do that. Garcia, to me, he's your DH. He's your first baseman. He'll play kind of multiple roles there. And he's obviously insurance for Stanton and or Judge. Like, I think Aaron Judge is coming back. I do. I know there are some Yankee fan or some Yankee or just people in general out there, conspiracy theorists or pundits that think, hey, you know, Judge is never coming back. The Yankees have been lying to us for months. I'm not sure they know more than it is that they would be lying. Same thing with Stanton. But Stanton is an aging player. And with Garcia, another good thing about him is he's under contract next year. So you're getting a guy that is entering the prime of his career. He's having a career year. You hope that this career year, of course, continues for the next couple months, but then also goes into next year. And this is a player that's on the uptick, you know, entering his 27th, as far as age-wise, season in baseball. So you not only get him for this year, you get him for next year. And this spells the end of Stanton, whether it's this year, next year. I just think the Yankees, and I don't blame them, have to be fed up with this. He's been out since April. Every summer, it's like the rest of us. It's summer vacation. It's summer sabbatical for Giancarlo Stanton. It's too much time missed. And as great as he is in October, and he's one of the great postseason performers in the history of the Yankees, and that is a strong statement, but it's an accurate statement. And that says a lot about Stanton in terms of his, how he handles the clutch, how much guts he has, and that the moments are not too big for him. But that being said, he's become a player at this stage where he's just not reliable at all. And Garcia's a guy that can be that reliable DH, play some first base. And if he has the year he has this year, you know, for the next couple months and next year, he's going to provide a lot of power for the Yankees and a high average and a guy that doesn't strike out. And Luis Garcia was obviously a huge part of that Nationals offense that is one of, if not the best offenses in all of baseball, certainly statistically. So I'm not going to get nuts with the fit. I'm not going to get nuts with, well, what would you do here? What do you do there? You platoon him with Goldschmidt. Don't worry about that. What you need to focus on is the fact that this is a big-time bat, a offense that needed a jolt, that needed a big-time bat. They need several, but it's a good start. They needed a player like Garcia who hits for a high average, doesn't strike out a lot, and he's on a heater, he's on a tear, he's having the best season of his career. And ever since June 1st, he has the most homers in baseball. He's neck and neck with Hunter Goodman. And when you add that with the type of player like Ben Rice, I mean, you are going to mash right-handed pitching. Now, Garcia against lefties, that's a whole other ballgame. He struggles mightily against them. And we know that Goldschmidt, throughout his career, has been really good against left-handed pitching. Garcia struggles against left-handed pitching. The Yankees still need to add more bats to figure out a way to take down left-handed pitching. But that's why you still have till 6 o'clock today to add more players, to add another catcher. And the buzz and the rumor mill and the momentum towards an Adley Rutschman trade seems to be building each hour here, and we'll keep you posted. This is the premier show, After Hours is, for breaking news on WFAN. And on a day like trade deadline day, wouldn't stun me at all in the next 5 hours that a move goes down. Another outfielder would make a lot of sense. Another infielder here would make a lot of sense. The Yankees need to come away from this deadline 24 hours from now when all the dust is settled with multiple bats. Multiple impact bats. And they got off to Brian Cashman and the Yankees to a great start by trading for Garcia. Because of the power, because of the average, and because of the lack of strikeouts. And I wouldn't get hung up on where is he going to play, how are the Yankees going to go about this. And this idea of Ben Rice moving to catcher, which I was in support of over the offseason. I thought it made a lot of sense because you would have such an offensive advantage with Rice at catcher. And I wanted the Yankees to make a big play for a first baseman. That was kind of my offseason plans for them. And even at times this year with Austin Wells struggling, which is an understatement. I mean, Austin Wells is having the worst season maybe ever of any player in baseball history. But when I thought about it, maybe not more, but deeper, I realized that especially once Stanton went down, once Judge went down, Bellinger is out. But with all these injuries, the last thing you want to do is put Ben Rice, the guy from day one here who's been your best player, especially now with Judge out of the lineup, this season I'm saying. The last thing you want to do is put Ben Rice behind the plate and put him at risk of getting injured. It's just not worth it. It's not. And Jack Curry on Sunday shot down any sort of thought and feeling that Ben Rice would now move behind the dish because you have Luis Garcia to be the role of Ben Rice as far as that lefty first base DH option. The Yankees are going to trade for a catcher. They're going to get a professional catcher in the next 12 to 15 hours. Whether it's Rutschman, whether it's somebody else. And I mean, Jeffers feels less and less likely only because the Twins are playing great baseball. And that's the thing with not only the weaker American League, but also with the expanded postseason is you don't really know for a lot of teams until a couple of days before whether they're going to be buyers or sellers or stay putters because things can change on a dime. They can change that quickly. This has been a little bit of a longer burn or a slower burn, so to speak, but the Red Sox, by all accounts, felt like they were going to be sellers. They had already fired their manager. Their season seemed lost. And all of a sudden, they got a spark. They went on a massive winning streak. They just swept the Dodgers. And right now, the Boston Red Sox are the best team in baseball. Or certainly the hottest. And they are a force to be reckoned with. And as much as the Yankees are looking up and worried about catching Tampa, they also have to be worried about Boston who is now right on their heels and are showing zero signs of slowing down. And that's why if you're Brian Cashman, you have to be very active here at the deadline. You have to address this offense, this struggling offense, and so far, so good. Because you got what could be the best available bat. And that was the right way to address this deadline. Not to get the best available starting pitcher, not to get the best available relief pitcher, but to get the best available bat. And then work your way from there with more bats. An outfielder, a catcher, and really you can get another infielder. There's a lot of dead weight on the Yankees that needs to be out of here. Grisham stinks. Dominguez, you know, maybe he needs a change of scenery. He's still 23 years old. McMahon is a backup. The shortstop situation is what it is. You know how I feel about Volpe. I said the Yankees should either send him down, cut him, just get rid of him. Caballero, the bloom has come off the rose a little bit. And if the Yankees could upgrade massively at shortstop, they're not going to get Pena now. And I don't know if the Astros were ever going to trade him anyway to the Yankees. But if you could have got Jeremy Pena, where do you sign for that? But if somehow the Yankees could get their hands on a Luis Arraez, that to me, and it's going to cost a pretty penny, even though Arraez is on a deal that ends at the end of the year, what are the Giants basically folding up shop and they're not going to be a franchise next year? They could extend him. They could sign him. They could keep him. So I understand about having a high asking price, but perhaps that drops a little bit from now until 6 p.m. And if it does and it becomes a situation where the Yankees are comfortable, that's where I would move Jazz to third. And Jazz does have experience at third base. But I would not move Jazz to third for Garcia at second base because Garcia stinks at second. And I don't want to hurt myself defensively. Especially when my bread and butter is my pitching staff. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. It is Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. We will start off with your calls on the Yankees, on the trade deadline. We will get into the Mets in the next hour as they have moved on from Freddie Peralta. They also traded AJ Minter over the weekend. They will likely be busy over the next 12-plus hours. We'll get into Tarek Skubal and a trade that rocked baseball as he was sent to the Dodgers. We'll get into the other deals that went across the board here over the weekend and potential moves that could be on its way. That'll be over the first few hours here on After Hours as trade deadline day has arrived. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 1224 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call as we have reached trade deadline day. The deadline is 6 p.m. Eastern time today. So quick math, that is about 16 hours, a little under from now. And we already had a very busy weekend that had a lot of implications locally as Luis Garcia is now a Yankee, Camilo Duvall, and you knew Camilo Duvall's days with the Yankees were numbered. The doubleheader they played against the Pirates, but they had a doubleheader and it was the second game of that and the bullpen was completely fried. And they did not go to Duvall. And I was like, all right, in like a save situation late in the game. And I was like, all right, Duvall is done. You could just tell his days were numbered. He wasn't going to be a Yankee very much longer. Look, when it comes to bullpen arms, it's hard to crush general managers for failures of those type of guys. Unless it's, you know, you trade for a great closer and the guy struggles. But even then, I mean, you know, you would expect the guy to be amazing. And it's hard to give them praise if they're awesome because it's so unpredictable. And Duvall had success with the Giants, but he was an utter nightmare with the Yankees. And you could tell his days were numbered and that this team was going to move on from him. And that's exactly what they did, trading him to Pittsburgh. Bird also part of the trade for Luis Garcia Jr. So you have two relievers on their way out, which means the Yankees are going to have to add an arm. They're going to have to sort of replace those guys, although Weathers, Warren could go to the pen. So, but I still think the Yankees are going to come away with a reliever before it's all said and done here over the next 16 hours. But more offense is definitely on the way. A catcher is on the way. Potentially another infielder is on the way. Another outfielder or a outfielder, I think, would be on the way. And I brought this name up last week. To me, if the Yankees can get their hands on, and I would consider a long shot, but if you can get George Springer, to me, he's been a Yankee killer. We all know that. He's played in a million big games. He's got a million big hits. He's got championship DNA. And as hot and as big of a year as Garcia is on, he's on an extreme heater. He's having a career year. He's been mashing. His advanced stats are very similar to Ben Rice's, to give you an idea of the type of year Garcia is having. He has crushed right-handed pitching, Garcia has. But, and there's always a but here, and this is for any player that comes over to New York, you never know how he's going to handle the bright lights, the big moments, the big spots, October. You don't know that. You just, it's a true unknown. Now, Springer, we don't know about New York, but we do know he has handled it in two different cities as far as World Series. He is a winner. He is a clutch player, Springer is. And as much as it's a long shot, I would do everything in my power to try to get him in here. Now, I heard a name last week, Jorge Soler. I mean, that's a guy that strikes out way too much, hits for a low average. Doesn't do it for me. Ramos from the Giants is solid. You know, he was an all-star last year. That's a good little pickup. Now, the interesting thing about Tyrone Taylor, I read something today that he doesn't want to get traded. Yeah, you know, Tyrone Taylor is just, he's such an easy guy to root for. Glue guy, lunch pail guy. Like him a lot. And he would make sense for the Yankees. We talked about this with a caller last week. It was actually one of the last calls I took on Thursday, the final after hours of the week. Might have even actually been the last call we took. But the Mets and Yankees could make a million different trades here. They have so many pieces that I think both teams would want to acquire. It's just those teams, you know, the Yankees and Mets don't make a lot of trades in their histories with each other. So the likelihood of it is extremely unlikely. And oh, by the way, we'll get to the Mets coming up next hour, but I had a chuckle at this because there was so much made about the list of players that are untouchable for the Mets and how Francisco Lindor wasn't on it. And then a week later, another list came out of untouchable players for the Mets, and Francisco Lindor's on the list. He was always on the list. Well, we'll get into the Mets coming up next hour. Freddy Peralta is gone. He is going to Tampa. So there are ties there, obviously, to the Yankees as the Yankees are chasing the Rays in the division. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. And we'll keep our eyes peeled here because Adley Rutschman talks as far as getting traded from the Orioles to the Yankees. The momentum towards that happening has really heated up over the last few hours. And obviously that can break at any moment. And it would give the Yankees a professional catcher. So, and I would, you know, the list of catchers for the Yankees has grown shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter here. Langelier's out for the year. Hunter Goodman in all likelihood not getting moved. Jeffers now unlikely getting the move. So the list is shrinking. Now, Rutschman's a name we've heard for weeks, and the Orioles have kind of made it clear that they're going to move him. But still, they might do an American League East tax. And I don't blame them, by the way, if the Orioles do that. They would be idiots not to do that. They should tax the Yankees. You're trading within your division. A young player, too. So I would definitely add a tax on that if I was Baltimore. Perhaps that's what's stalling these trade talks. But I would expect, unless things completely fall apart, which it could, for Rutschman to be here. And if not, someone will be here. And anybody the Yankees trade for at catcher is a upgrade over the slop that they've put out there this year. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Robbie in Phoenix. He joins us first here on the show.
Morning,
what's going on, Robbie?
Morning
to you, Robbie.
They need to do a lot more. I would get a rise. Mm-hmm. That would be my second one. Let me ask you, how desperate do you think the Padres are to get rid of players?
I don't think they're as desperate as people have made them out to be.
Why not make a phone call and get and ask for Machado?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly could do it. Nothing would hurt to make the phone call. I don't think there's any phone call, Robbie, that would hurt. And I think that, look, the Yankees' weakness here has been well-documented. We've known about it for a while. So I would imagine, Robbie, that Brian Cashman has been on the phone now for weeks calling every team in baseball and essentially asking, hey, is this guy available? What would it take to get this guy? And then within the parameters of their comfort, the Yanks would sort of pull the trigger on that. And obviously they need a dance partner. The other team has to agree to move on. But I know a lot has been made about Mason Miller. I wouldn't see the Padres moving off him because he's under team control for a lot of years.
Right. I would go for Springer too because he is a gamer. But huge. I want to ask you, what do the Yankees have to do to make this team Aaron Boone proof? That's my main concern. How could they make this team Aaron Boone proof where even he can't screw this up?
Well, even though I wouldn't have done it, if we're playing in the parameters of the Robbie and Phoenix Aaron Boone proof, they would need to trade for Skubal, which obviously is not going to happen anymore because he went to the Dodgers. They would have to trade for Mason Miller, and they would have to get Stanton and Judge back, fully back to where they are, you know what I mean, or where they were, I should say. And then add about three or four bats. So you'd have to have the perfect, I would say, trade deadline to be Aaron Boone proof. Because you know what, though, Robbie? If the season ended today, you're playing the Red Sox. And I don't know if an Aaron Boone, even though he got him last year, I don't know if that would be an Aaron Boone proof type of series when you're playing the hottest team in baseball in the playoffs.
Right. And here's the thing, there's no way that Aaron Boone could have done what Chad Tracy's doing right now. No way. No way. I think Boone.
Let me ask you this, Robbie. Would you rather have Aaron Boone or Dick Tracy manage the Yankees?
Oh, Dick Tracy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Anyone but him. He would mess up the 98 Yankees. I would really get a rise. I would try to get Springer. I would do my best to make this Aaron Boone proof.
By the way, Robbie, if they got both of those players, if they got both of those players along with Garcia, that would be a phenomenal deadline from Brian Cashman. Like, phenomenal. You got three major offensive upgrades in Arise, Garcia, and Springer. That would be, I think, a slam dunk, A++ trade deadline for Cashman. Would it make them, like you said, Aaron Boone proof? You know what it is, Robbie? And I just think you got to see it in October first before I could say, hey, this is Aaron Boone proof. Meaning he's just going to have to exercise these demons. Unfortunately, I don't think you can make a team Aaron Boone proof. He's got to, at some point, push all the right buttons and be that manager in October. That, because even the Dodgers, you know, Dave Roberts still has to push the right buttons in order for that team to win back-to-back championships.
Yeah, but I trust Dave Roberts more than him.
No, but my point is though, at some point, the manager is going to have to do something. You can't just sort of literally kind of erase him from the equation. Even if you have this team that is unstoppable and great, and in your words, Aaron Boone proof, Boone is still going to have to do something in October in a positive manner to win a championship. Like, he can't, if he screws up, you know, even a great team can get screwed up. Like you said, he could screw up the 98 Yankees.
Right, but I mean, he makes Inspector Clouseau look like Scotland Yard's finest.
I got to be honest with you. That one went over, and I love you, Robbie. That one went a little over my head.
But you're that old.
No, not old, but I like to think sometimes I could be old school. Now, what would you say, Scotland Yard? Scotland's finest?
Yes, Scotland Yard's finest.
And then what was the first thing that you said? What was the first thing they make?
Inspector Clouseau of the movie The Pink Panther.
Oh, Pink Panther.
Inspector Clouseau.
Got it. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. He makes him look like a genius.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have a Panther or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
Oh, a Panther.
Panther, yeah. Yeah. Well, because a Panther would strike fear in the heart of the players because there would be accountability because he could, in theory, you know, eat them if they tried.
Right. Yeah. Right. accepted. So I'm very nervous right now. I really hope he does good work on the trades and gets some quality people.
Well, so far, so good, Rob, and I appreciate the call. Oh, by the way, how's everything going? The wife is still in Toronto for the next couple months?
Until September. Until September 28th.
Yes, and you call her once a week for a grand total of 35 seconds, correct?
Yes.
Smart man. You know, that's really, Robbie, not only were you the first person on this radio station in the great history of this radio station, Robbie in Phoenix was the first person to call up saying that Aaron Boone didn't know what he was doing and should be fired. Now, for many of you out there, perhaps it took 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Maybe you're not even there yet. For Robbie in Phoenix, it took three games. It took one series. But that's all Robbie, who's a visionary, much like me. He saw the future, and he saw what the Yankee future was going to be with Aaron Boone. And Robbie, before the iceberg came, wanted to sway the other direction and get away from that iceberg. So not only is Robbie a visionary, but he should teach seminars on how to have a successful marriage, because what Robbie in Phoenix, this setup he's got right now, where his wife is literally in Canada visiting their in-laws, or his in-laws, Robbie's in-laws, her family, for months. And Robbie doesn't have to pull an ET and phone home. He calls his wife up once a week and talks to her for 35 seconds. When, let's be real, fellas, do you really need more than 35 seconds in more ways than one? I mean, that should be enough. That covers about everything. 35 seconds in and out. But to Robbie, and Robbie obviously is the world's biggest Aaron Boone hater. And I think Aaron Boone has done a really good job this year. I actually think this is Aaron Boone's finest hour as Yankee manager. This is the best regular season managerial job that Aaron Boone has done in his tenure with the Yankees. When you consider the injuries, when you consider the obstacles, when you consider the lack of offense, obviously being without Judge for an extended period of time, Stanton an extended period of time, Freed for an extended period of time, now Bellinger out for an extended period of time. That's a lot to deal with. And it's a credit to Aaron Boone and the culture of this team for where the Yankees are at. Now, two things can be true. Regular season is one thing. October is a totally different animal. Aaron Boone has proven to be a really good, if not at times great, regular season manager. And what I mean by that, because look, we could say, well, what about that Sunday in April? And you could pick apart every single manager and the mistakes they made. I'm talking about the consistency that the Yankees have had under his watch. They're a machine. They win year in and year out in the regular season. So I think as far as the 162, Aaron Boone and this Yankee team have it down to a science. But October, totally different animal. And that's where Aaron Boone is going to have to exercise the demons. There are a lot of ghosts that Aaron Boone is going to have to get rid of. There are a lot of bad spirits that Aaron Boone, as far as October goes, that he is going to have to exercise. There's going to have to be some sort of exorcism, because as great as I think Boone has had as far as managerial this regular season, he's still got a lot to prove when it comes to October. Let's head out to Greenwich. Paulie joins us here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lug in the Late Night. What's going on, Paulie?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing? How was your weekend?
Great. Hopefully yours was as well.
Good. Did you ever get that thing I gave you?
No, and I was just talking about it with Connor, one of the producers here. None of us seem to know where it is. Now, I will go on a deeper search for it, and maybe it got lost somewhere in translation. Have you gotten any sort of notification that it didn't get delivered?
No, I'm going to go back to the post office. I know it went to the 10th floor. That's all I know.
Okay, so it's up here then. Then let me double back with our mailing room, because it's not in like my mailbox, or it's not in the newsroom where I sit. So it perhaps the mail room went to come find me, but you know what? I'm not here during the day, and it's back in their spot. I'll double back on that, but yeah, you could check on your end, but I'm sure it's somewhere around here. It's just I can't find it right now.
I appreciate that. So I want to talk about Aaron Boone, right? Everybody's killing Boone, right? Oh, I'd rather have this guy. He stinks. Get rid of him, right? Now, this is the best pitching staff he's had since he's been a manager.
Yep.
That's number one.
Yep.
Two, I want anybody to name another manager that can manage the Yankees the way he did this year with almost six automatic outs on the team and all the injuries.
He's done a great job.
If you want to get rid of him, who are you going to put there? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Aaron Boone has done a really good job. I don't think this is the season to necessarily criticize him. And like I was just saying, when it comes to October, we're going to see if Boone can sink or swim. Because you know what? Brian Cashman, I believe, I'm confident, here at the deadline, is going to do everything in his power to improve this offense. Now, as far as Stanton and Judge coming back, there's nothing that Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone can do about that. It's either those players are going to be ready or they're not. The Yankees have to operate, I think, over the next 12 hours like they're not going to be back. I just think that's a smart way to go about things. But when it comes to October and with this roster that is out there now, I think Cashman will do his job over the next 12 hours. He will improve this offense. And then it's on Aaron Boone with this great pitching staff and an improved offense and hopefully a Stanton and Judge back. It's up to Aaron Boone to get across the finish line. But he hasn't been able to do that yet.
And Lugie, one more thing. I know you got a lot of callers. Mm-hmm. I know Schoolboy went to the Dodgers. They got a great team. Mm-hmm. I get it. But you still got to play the game, right? Look at the Lakers with the Pistons. No, yep. Nobody thought that the Pistons could beat Kobe and Shaq. They got swept.
Well, look at last year, and look, it's almost as doesn't count, and you know, it's horseshoes and hand grenades, but the Blue Jays had the Dodgers on the ropes, not once, but twice last year. Now, the Dodgers, to their credit and championship DNA, they were able to pull through in both of those games, but they're not unbeatable, they're not, you know, immune to losing, they can be taken down, they can be dethroned. But I can understand also where people are frustrated, obviously, by what they're doing, but they're still working within the parameters of baseball, and we'll see ultimately what the ramifications are of that. But I agree with you, Paul. I thought the same thing over the weekend when Scuba went there. I said, you know what? Then why don't we just end the season? Why bother playing any more games? It's over. Just hand him the trophy.
And Tommy, I listen to you every time you're on the field, and I want you to tell you a pleasure. And
thank you.
You know, God bless you. Have a good night. And you are the best.
Same to you. God bless you as well, Paul. I appreciate the call. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's time for the Fan Focus. And the Fan Focus for me is the trade deadline from a Yankees perspective. I thought it got off to a great start by trading Camilo Duvall. Addition by subtraction. Cutting dead weight. Like Duvall was, when I start making a list of players that need to be gone, Duvall was certainly near the top. Jake Bird was there as well. He is gone as part of the Luis Garcia Jr. trade. I never know whether to add the Jr. there and there because, you know, this is a wrestling thing, but it always bothers me that WWE doesn't call Rey Mysterio Jr. Rey Mysterio Jr. And I know it's they have these things, but he's Rey Mysterio Jr. But they have to call him Rey Mysterio. It's like, well, but he was Rey Mysterio Jr. for years establishing his name. So I never know whether does the guy want a junior? Does he not want a junior? But Jake Bird was a part of that trade. So you got rid of two, obviously, awful bullpen arms. Guys that were sort of roadblocks for younger relievers that could have gotten opportunities. Grisham, to me, needs to go. Dominguez, I'm about fed up with. Volpe needs to go. Wells needs to go. And even if that by to go means severely, severely limiting their playing time. There's just so much dead weight on the Yankees. McMahon is a backup. He shouldn't be the starting third baseman. And I like the idea of trading for Arise and moving Jazz to third. I do like that. I don't like the idea of putting Garcia at second base because he can't field and moving Jazz to third base. That I would not do. And I would not sort of, and I know Goldschmidt hasn't been hitting, but Goldschmidt was great early in the year. There was no shot he was going to continue to be that player. He's a guy that is, yes, a borderline Hall of Famer, but an aging player. And to see Goldschmidt hold up for 162 was just never going to happen. But he can still be valuable. He's still excellent defensively, Goldschmidt is. He can still hit lefties, which is and hit him at a very high clip when going well. And that is still a major thing that the Yankees and Brian Cashman are going to have to address here from now until 6 p.m. is adding right-handed bats, improving your team against left-handed pitching. Because you don't know if you're getting Stanton back. In fact, this Garcia trade makes me think that Stanton's days are virtually numbered, if not over at this point, with the Yankees. And Garcia is kind of the replacement for that. getting a judge back. You know, those are the things that are going to help you, obviously, against lefties. But you also have to operate over the next day and a, or half a day, I should say, before the deadline, in the sense of, hey, those two guys, Stanton and Judge, might not be back. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Sean?
Logan!
What's happening?
I'm doing all right. I hope you had a blessed weekend as I did.
I did.
That is good to hear. And when I heard about the Scooble trade, oh my goodness, I was a little bit shocked, to be honest, because... And think
yeah, but nothing at this point, Sean, when it comes to the Dodgers, should shock you. Nothing. They have gotten to a point here where they are just, they got the cheat code. Yeah, they got the cheat code. So when it comes to star players and adding more star players, nothing really shocks me when it comes to the Dodgers. I know, Sean, you're not alone. There are people that are in your camp where they're shocked when the Dodgers do something. It's like, the Dodgers don't wake up and go, well, we've won two in a row, we're good. No, they want to win a third in a row. They, as long until there is major changes potentially as far as the salary cap, they are going to continue to operate like this. They're not going to stop. So there's really no end in sight as far as like heading into this deadline for the Dodgers to change the way they go about doing business.
Yeah, and five aces, that's just plain nasty. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and they've had a million injuries, too, but because of their depth and because of their talent and because of everything they got going on, the Dodgers haven't skipped a beat at all. But they have dealt with certainly a lot of injuries in their pitching staff.
Yeah, and before I get to my point, a small question really fast. Yeah. Has there been past callers that have agreed with what I've mentioned or said a couple times whenever I reached out to you?
What is that supposed to mean? I love you, Sean, but I'm not sure where you're going with that.
No, I'm
meaning,
just saying,
like, are there callers that react to stuff that you say to me and agree with your takes?
No, agree to my points.
I don't think so, no. But I don't know if most callers don't react to other callers' takes, though.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, so to the task at hand. So the Yankees did their part, which is good. They got rid of Bird, which is also a good good thing.
Yep.
Because he needed to, and they got Garcia. So I'm actually interested and curious to see how he does for the infield. So but you still got time. Still got to get some more arms. I'm also keeping track on my phone too for any trades. So that's
yeah, this is a tough night to go to bed. Now I don't have a choice, but I mean, anything could happen in the wee hours. I mean, a Rutschman trade to the Yankees could happen. A massive deal could happen, especially with a West Coast team. You know, there's only so many hours left here before the deadline is it's 6 p.m. So I mean, do the math. It's not a long way to go here. So anything could happen any minute, and that's why it's tough to go to bed because you could miss something.
Yeah, that is definitely true. And you mentioned something about Rey Mysterio earlier before you came to me. The junior part, I think he took that out when he came to WWE.
He did, but I wonder out loud if it was WWE that wanted him to take that out and not Rey himself.
I'll have to like decipher that, actually.
Yeah, because that would be very much sort of in the WWE. They call their fans, you know, the universe. You know, you can't be a junior. You know, that's what they do. And obviously, me being a huge WCW fan, I was a huge Rey Mysterio Jr. fan, so I always think of him as Rey Mysterio Jr. Same thing with like a Ron Killings. I don't think of him as R-Truth. I think of him as Ron Killings. But I might be in the minority on that type of stuff, Sean. But when I see players come over and they have a junior attached to it, you know, do you go Luis Garcia Jr.? Do we call him Luis Garcia? You know, where do you go with that junior? I think, you know where I'm going to go with this, Sean? Either way. Yeah. You know, at one time I'm going to say junior, another time I'm not going to say it. So that way it doesn't become, you can just call him Garcia. That way it doesn't become redundant.
Yeah, that's going to be that's going to be one thing. And I think like another wrestler they kind of did it once, maybe with Ted DiBiase's son.
I think they might have done that. Well, they might have done that too. But yeah, taking the junior stuff out is just, we don't have to get on a wrestling tangent. But yeah, and when it comes to the junior, the thing about Luis Garcia, you just want him to mash. And he certainly can mash righties. He's having a career year. He is a major bat. So kudos to Cashman for this move. Fit-wise, it's a head-scratcher, but you can't worry about that. What the Yankees need is offense, and it's the first piece to perhaps a larger puzzle, a larger story. Let's see what happens. Yankees certainly are going to add a catcher. I think they should add an outfield bat. I think they should add another infielder, probably a bullpen arm, because they've dealt a few arms over the last couple days. But let's see what Cashman has up his sleeve on Monday. Let's see what he has up his sleeve today. And then we can really surmise and grade and break down what the Yankees now have going forward. And if you choose to think that Stanton and Judge are coming back, totally understand that positivity. Not going to rain on your parade. I think the Garcia move tells me that they're at least shaky on one of those players coming back. If you said to me, hey, is it going to be Judge or Stanton that returns to the lineup this season? I would say it's going to be Aaron Judge. I'm not buying that Stanton is coming back. I'm not. And I'm sure the Yankees are fed up with it. How could they not be at this point? As great as he's been in October, it's just too much of a liability. It's just too much of a risk injury-wise. The availability isn't there, and you need that availability. When you can't have a guy that's out since April, and you could even hear it in Aaron Boone's voice last week when he was getting testy with reporters that he doesn't want to be asked about it anymore, because I'm sure they're just like, we don't know what to tell you when it comes to Stanton. There's only so many different ways I can say he's getting better. It's all right in front of us. He should be back in a reasonable amount of time. There's no timetable. And it's just this song and dance every single day. And obviously with the infusion of new players here with this deadline, it should take a little bit of the focus away from Judge and Stanton as far as their returns. But still, it's that cloud over the franchise. But the more bats you add, it at least allows you to say, hey, if Stanton doesn't come, Judge is a different animal, obviously, because he's so great. But it allows you to say, you know what? If Stanton doesn't come back, at least we have Luis Garcia now. If they can get a George Springer, hey, we got Springer. If they can get an Arise, hey, we got Luis Arise. And that helps soften a blow of Stanton not returning to the lineup this year. And then we see if those players, we know Springer can, but we'll see if those players can be October performers like Stanton can be. You'll never know until they get there, especially under the bright lights of New York City in the Bronx wearing pinstripes, which is a totally different form of pressure that you just don't know if a guy has it in him until he gets there. I'm going to find out quick about Garcia because he's going to be playing in big games for the next 2 months, because not only are the Yankees trying to win the division, they're trying to catch the Rays, but they're also trying to keep the Red Sox at an arm's length, which is going to be very, very difficult to do as the Red Sox completed a sweep over the Dodgers. Everybody wants to talk about the Dodgers ruining baseball. Well, Boston took them to the woodshed this weekend. And the Red Sox are the hottest team in baseball. And you could argue right now, if it was October, the Red Sox are winning the World Series. Because of the momentum they have and the pitching. And sometimes it's just your year. Sometimes you're on that magic carpet. And the Yankees want no part of Boston getting into the... But Lugie, they beat them last year, okay? They want no part of another team from the American League East entering the October discussion. They don't. They want central teams in there, the Yankees do. They want teams out west in there. Houston's an interesting team, too. They've been playing great baseball as well. And they become, see, this is the sort of environment we have now in baseball. A team looks like a seller. Houston looked awful. And they had injuries. Hader was out. Pena was out. They've gotten both of the, Hader's been unbelievable. Pena's been unbelievable. And all of a sudden now, Houston, which looked like a team that might cash their chips in, all of a sudden the Astros are in first place. They're going to be buyers, probably. How could they not be? They're certainly not going to be sellers. And we know this isn't your older brother's Houston Astros, but they're still Houston. And when the Yankees see Houston in October, so I think they've handled them in the regular season lately, but in October, that's still a team that had their number for years and years and years. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie here in the late night. We'll continue to take your calls on the trade deadline. We'll mix the Mets into the conversation coming up in the next hour as they have dealt Freddie Peralta. They have dealt AJ Minter. Who is next to be dealt by the Mets and David Stearns today? We'll talk about that. And we will get into more of the Tarik Skubal and the Dodgers and everything going on potentially with a looming lockout next year and the impact the Skubal trade might have on that. So there's a lot of baseball coming up in the next couple hours. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. The phone number is 888-808-1019. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.